everybody. Welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 78, your May the 10th edition of the Patient Players Podcast. That's crazy. We've made it this far already. I am one of your hosts, Daniel, joined by my wonderful co-host down under here, Jordan. How you doing, Jordan?
You almost got me doing the Australian accent there again. I'm really glad I didn't. I thought about it for a second. I'm more like whitewashed Jordan this morning because my computer setup is like in front of my window. So like whenever we do like early morning recordings, I'm just like a white blob.
You have the beautiful sun helping you record your podcast.
It's actually a very gloomy day today.
You know, I was just saying, I was wondering, I was like, wow, it must be sunny over where you're at, because here it's like dark and sad.
Yeah,
and,
but it's really overcast.
Why is it so bright for you, though?
Bright overcast. My next podcast.
Overcast is already taken. It's a wonderful podcasting app. It's my podcasting app of choice.
Oh, that's right. And it was also the name of my old podcast.
That's right. I forgot about that.
The app was a thing. Yes.
Boy, I normally ask you how you're doing, Jordan, but you're still sick. It's sad.
I am. Well, I'm... No, I'm great. I'm definitely on the tail end of this 3-week, whatever the heck it is. I don't even know what it is. It's been really weird, because it was only like bad for one night. The rest of it has just been like a sore throat and a cough. So I don't know if that's just like a cold, but I didn't think colds last for 3 weeks.
Usually not, but maybe really bad ones. So remind me from last episode, you picked this up after a bachelor party a few weeks ago?
I did. It was a case of the bachelor party. What did I call it? The gloomies? The bachelor party?
Something like that.
Okay. Case of the bachelor parties. Maybe that's just what I called it.
Well, you know what? I'm a little suspicious here, because you go to a bachelor party and then you come back onto our podcast infected. And then last week, I go to a bachelor party. And then 2 days later, I come down with a horrible coughing fit and cold. So we're just a couple of bums over here just coughing our brains out trying to produce some good podcasting content.
Hi, welcome to the Bachelor Party Bums, where we spread diseases like a computer virus.
Apparently.
There's a new one going around called like the Panda something. The Panda virus.
Oh, like a computer virus?
Yeah. It steals your Discord and your Steam login.
My extended family, my sister-in-law has a habit. She works in the medical industry, and she has a habit of referring to the pandemic as any P word. So she'll be like, don't you know we're in the middle of a panini? And like, ooh. It's just a fun little thing she did. So you were like, there's a new virus going around. It's like the panda. And I thought you were like making a play on pandemic. And I was like, yeah, I think we've heard of it. And then I realized you were talking about computers, not people.
The pandemic.
Yeah.
Dude, what if instead of corona, it was just pandas everywhere?
Just in your bloodstream? Killing people? I want to see this movie now.
Maybe not in my bloodstream, but like it was just going around like punching people in their faces. It would be so scary to go outside.
The panda pandemic?
Uh-huh.
I could see that. Yeah, just getting socked by a random bear when you leave your house. That would make you stay at home.
It would be a lot easier to watch out for, though. What if you wore a mask and pandas were afraid of masks?
So how would people deny that there is a problem when the panda hits them in the face? That's the problem.
They still would find a way.
Oh, and speaking of that bachelor party, though, I must say it was high quality. We did a lot of fun stuff, but we watched the groom at that wedding loves bad movies, like terrible B movies, like your Sharknadoes of the world.
Oh, no.
And so we had a whole theater rented out
for
the bachelor party.
Whoa.
And we watched Uwe Boll's In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale, which is like a mid-2000s video game movie turned into a Lord of the Rings ripoff. It was so fun. I accidentally bought the extended director's cut, so it was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
No. Why is there a director's cut of something like that?
Because Uwe Boll is a very passionate movie director. And see, it's relevant because it's based off a video game, even though it has nothing to do with Dungeon Siege. I have no idea how you play Dungeon Siege, but the main character in this movie is Jason Statham, and he has a boomerang, and it's amazing. And he still mostly just kicks people, but he does have a boomerang and a giant machete.
Dungeon Siege? Is that the game that Judo likes playing?
Possibly? I don't know. I don't even know what kind of game. I'm just going to Google it real fast. Dungeon Siege. Look at images. Yeah, it's like a... Okay, I think it's more along the lines of like a... Something between a World of Warcraft and a Diablo. It's like a top-down adventure action RPG.
Okay, that was not what I was thinking at all. It is on Steam.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
For $7. So
if you really like Dungeon Siege, feel free to check out In the Name of the King. I will say the extended edition, I hear, makes it a little bit better. I thought it was enjoyable. There was a lot of stupid stuff in there. There's some great, like, horrible movie physics. Like, at one point, some of the orcs get shot out of a catapult and they just go straight, like there's no arc, they just go completely straight, and everyone they hit gets bowled aside like bowling pins, and the orc just keeps going with the same momentum, and then they just like hit a tree or something. It was really bad.
Well, that's it, fun,
very enjoyable. A lot of good bachelor party jokes came out of that movie the whole time during when we were getting ready for the wedding ceremony. We were just like
beautiful.
Quoting lines. Yes.
That's cool. Oh, so when was the ceremony? So the wedding's already happened and everything?
Yeah, it was the day before. Everyone had to do everything in the same weekend just because people were coming in from out of town. And
gotcha.
The groom couldn't get off work until the day before his wedding, which was,
oh my gosh,
annoying.
What the heck?
Yeah, I was like going to call his boss and complain, but apparently he co-manages a restaurant with someone, and the other manager just had twins, so he's also out. So it was kind of a mess.
Well, take your kids to work day. I don't see the problem here.
I was like, look, buddy, you only get married once. You could have twins a number of times in your life.
That
right?
is a great
you
point.
Need off.
Yes, and they do. Like I'm saying, they sell like the thing where you have the baby on the front and then the baby on the back. Or no, wait, no, they don't. It's two babies on the front.
Double baby Bjorn?
Yeah. Now I'm thinking how terrible it would be to carry just a baby on your back and a baby on your front. And I would forget the one on the back's there, honestly. It'd be a great workout, though.
Depending on how big your babies are. What if they're just like little 10-pound babies?
That's a good point. But that's still 20 pounds just carrying around.
Okay.
That's a great workout.
I feel like the backpack I carried around at college was more than 20 pounds.
But that's like one-sided. So you're just hurting your back in that case.
Anyways, that was my bachelor party that I came away with after the wedding sickness. Obviously, with the pandemic,
cool.
I was worried about it being coronavirus, but I have negative tests and I don't have many of the symptoms. So this is just some of your more tame bugs that is bringing me down.
Did I tell you about the test that I did?
No. What test did you do?
Well, so you said you got tested, right?
Yes.
Did you do the nose one?
I did. I have a very efficient, fast-moving man at this urgent care clinic jab some things in my nose real fast, and it didn't feel good.
It feels awful. I scheduled mine thinking it was going to be like the blood test, because apparently you can just do a prick and bada bing bada boom. So I was like, yeah, I'll schedule a self-test. Yeah, no, that's fine. I get there and she's like, okay, here you go, you're gonna want to shove this in your nose back as far until it stops. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this myself. And I had to. It was terrible. It felt like I was torturing myself, because you know you start like crying and then coughing and you're like, I'm doing this to myself. Ah.
I imagine it must be worse doing it yourself, because the way that this guy did it, it was very invasive. I felt very uncomfortable, but it was definitely just a like vloop vloop and it was done. It was
That's nice. Yeah.
That man knew how to jab your nose.
I did not know how to jab my nose. So it was like very slowly in, like, I think it stopped there. Oh, this feels terrible. And then
did
like
my
the circle
brain?
Motion.
Am I doing this right?
Right. And then the other side, it like stopped. I feel like it stopped earlier, but I was like, do I keep pushing? Or like, no, I shouldn't keep pushing. She said, don't push if it stops. Like, do not. I was like, what am I going to do if I do keep pushing? Like, I'm going to get this thing stuck in my nose. But anyway, glad we're both negative. That's a good sign.
Very good sign. Very good sign. So you want to talk about some video games?
Anyways, what kind of podcast are we on right now?
We're on a podcast. I guess it's these 2 week breaks.
we're on a podcast.
These 2 week breaks between podcasts are destroying my ability to host a podcast. This is a video game podcast. Thank you for joining us, guys. If you are here, Here we're going to talk about what we call gaming in the slow lane. That's kind of our thing. Basically meaning that we're not jumping on the most recent trends all the time. We're usually going back and enjoying games that we play a bunch, or maybe they've gotten updated, or we pick up a game that we never played the first time around for a good deal, something like that. That's what you'll hear on our podcast. We're going to talk about a couple topics of what we've been playing this week, and we're going to end off with the best part of the podcast, the question and answer section, where we answer questions either live from our live recording over on Twitch or via email over at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And if you enjoy the podcast, definitely stick around. We'll talk more about this at the end, but you can find all of the ways to reach us or hang out with us over at patientplayers.com/social, including our community Discord that we're on all week. And in the meantime, enjoy the gaming topics. What do you got for me today, Jordan?
In the meantime, enjoy the show. I just had a great idea for the question and answer segment, so I'm really excited to get to that, to share that idea.
Are you going to ask a question, or you mean like,
I mean, to change the... Kind of? I'm going to make a suggestion.
Okay, well, I will wait for your suggestion eagerly at the end of the podcast.
I am. And also, my cough has been fine lately. I hate that it's flaring up just for the podcast.
It's like, jealous of my cough. It heard me coughing, and now it's coming back.
I guess so. It's quite annoying. Because I just want to be fine for crying out loud. Woo. Woo boy. Woo Nelly.
What have you been playing?
Well, thanks to this lovely cough that I've had time to like stay home and play video games.
That's a new thing. You haven't had that much time recently.
Isn't that crazy? I played so many games. Three of which are new, one of which not so new.
Okay.
But I guess I could just mention that one real quick. I played Satisfactory with Kyle some.
That's right. I saw you guys on playing that.
Yeah, he just had an urge to play, and so we started a new world. That's about it. We played twice. So far, we have not found the time to play again at the same time. He's told me that he's gone off and done a bajillion things, so I'm sure when I log back on, it'll be like, I'm going to be so lost. Like, that game is a time sink.
Yeah, Satisfactory is a weird one, because I feel like I've started up a world with Kyle two or three times, and every time we start a new one, and it's like, okay, but that game takes so many hours, like a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. And so when you guys started one up, I wanted to join you, and then I was like, I don't really want to start all the way over, because I know we're going to play like twice and then never play again.
And then start over again in like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's like, I know how to make copper sheets. I don't need to like do that again. That's I want to play with the new stuff.
Yeah. I almost didn't want to play with him, because at this point, I just want the game to come out and so I can like play it its full release, you know? Because starting over with trying to relearn everything. It was so weird playing. You played like sometime, I think, last summer. And so you were kind of semi-familiar with a lot of new mechanics. Mm-hmm. But I've not played since the game originally launched. And so playing again this time, there was things that weren't just new. There were things that were different. Like how you like submit all of the materials to the sky elevator. And like how you even make them. So I'm just like, I really want to play this game when it's done. You know, like when it reaches the final done update, and then they'll probably keep updating it, but they won't be like changing core mechanics of the game.
Possibly. I don't know what their plan is past that. I've liked checking back in with it. I almost played it again a few months ago, but I did decide to wait because I really appreciated this. They warned their player base before this big update 4, that update 4 was going to break certain recipes, but only at certain tiers.
Oh no, that is awful.
They were like, hey, by the way, we are rearranging how tier 7 works, which is, it was the final tier until this update, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you had like nuclear power plants and stuff like that at the very end of the game, then they were like, maybe don't play your old saves on this update. Or if you do, get ready for everything to break. So they're very vocal about that kind of stuff. Like they warned everybody when they changed the coal power plants, so they needed water. And like, They do communicate pretty clearly in advance when they're going to change stuff. And that tier of research was the next one that I needed to reach in my save file. So I was like, I'm just not going to play until that comes out.
Nice, yeah.
And it won't ruin anything in my game.
That's a good way. Yeah, that's smart. But also, that's why I'm glad I haven't been playing it. and I'm ready for it to be done. So there won't be that mindset of me playing and like, oh, I hope this doesn't break in the future for no reason, you know?
Right. Right. Well, but if you play until you're done playing as it is now, and then if there are changes, you can come back and enjoy playing it more with those changes, but you're not like sad that your old stuff broke because you were done with that stuff anyways. That's how I usually view it. Like, I don't need it to maintain this huge thing I built before because I had my fun with it while it was there.
Interesting. But so that's one game that I don't want to play till it came out. There's another game that I did not want to play until it came out, and I ended up doing so anyways because I thought it was done.
Wait, didn't you tell us about this on last podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay, we just talked about it offline.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been waiting for Subnautica Below Zero to officially come out, which its release date, I think, is next Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so Kyle was playing it, and he's like, dude, this game is so great. Like, you know, it's done. It's coming out. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, of course, that makes sense. You know, they updated the beta version, so the game is done, and then it just officially releases in a few weeks. So I played it. That was like my main I'm sick game, and I played a bunch of it. It is so fun. And then I get to this one point in the story where there's just an invisible wall, like in front of a room. And I'm like,
oh no,
like, what's going on here? And I Google it, and it's like, oh, it's not actually done yet. Like, the game is launching, but the Steam version has not actually been updated to be like the final edition. So
Wait, what version is updated to be the final edition?
Just, I guess it's mostly done, honestly, but I thought it was done.
Wait, and this coming weekend when it launches, will that door be gone? Like, will it actually be done?
Yes, it will. Oh, yeah, when it officially launches, it'll be done. But I thought it was done. So that was quite the surprise to run into just an invisible wall. It was so confusing when I found it.
I imagine that must be weird. You're like, wait, I know the game is finished, so why can't I finish the game?
Exactly. Yeah, there's like a waypoint there, and I walk up to it, and I'm like, nothing's happening. Did the game bug out? Like, why can't I walk into this room? It obviously told me to go here. But that is a fantastic game.
Does it play pretty much like the first one, but better?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Like, I was playing it, and I was like, what a great excuse to play Subnautica again. Just like everything is new in it, but it's still, you know, you'll be playing it and swimming around it, and someone could like walk up behind you and be like, oh, you're playing Subnautica. Like, they would have no way of knowing it was a second one at some points. But at other points, obviously they would, like, you know, when you go like on the snowy tundra land or you're piloting the new ships. But, that was fun. And this time I took the way of the scrub. I was very proud of myself. I was like, I'm not going to play like the true experience. I'm going to play just the way I want to play the game.
Okay.
Which was really weird for me, but I'm happy I did it because I was able to just enjoy it and have fun.
What's the difference?
When you start up, you can play three different ways. You can play survival. You can play, I think it's called adventure. It's probably not. We'll call it adventure. Survival, adventure, and then freedom. So survival is, you know, you have your hunger, you have your food, yada, yada, yada. You have freedom where it's like, it's just like the normal game, but you don't have to deal with any eating or drinking. And that's actually how I ended up playing it.
Okay.
And Kyle was making fun of me for not doing it the true way.
Kyle's such a toxic gamer.
But I was just so happy to not have to deal with the whole eating and drinking system for the whole game, you know, like, inventory management was already difficult enough that I didn't have to always be like, I had to go get some food. Now I have to go get some drinks now. So, but at the same time, it wasn't like the freedom mode where it's literally just survival or creative mode where nothing can kill you. And that didn't seem fun to me. So I had a blast playing Below Zero. And that's all I have to say about it. Looking forward to its release. I highly recommend it if you like the first one. If you didn't like the first one, then you won't like the second one because it's literally just Subnautica 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay. Well, I'm super interested in it. I really like Subnautica. I played the heck out of it. I actually never played it after it came out, so I never beat Subnautica.
Whoa, really?
I played the heck out of it for that like 2 weekend period where I made those YouTube videos and did all this junk, and then I never really played it again.
Oh, that is a bummer.
Yeah, so this one would be all the stuff that they finished in one plus everything new in two. So that would be a big expansion for me. That'd be really fun. I don't know, like, I don't know if I'm ready to just jump straight into a new survival game, though, because I've been playing the heck out of Valheim, and I've also been playing that multiplayer. We have the server I'm running, and you can get more info on that on the official Patient Players Discord if you head over to patientplayers.com/discord if anyone's interested in the Valheim server. But that's been going swimmingly. Got a group of friends that play like almost every night. In fact,
are they still playing every night?
They've played 3 or 4 times this week.
Wow.
Just this past week, we beat the fourth boss, which is nice. The second to last one that's available in early access. So we have one more boss to overcome in early access, and then I'm probably going to chill out on Valheim for a while, let them build more of the game.
Oh, that's going to be sad, waiting for the next update.
Yes. Yes, it will. But it's super fun, and it has been incredible playing with other people. Like, it was everything I needed to keep playing the game. We talked before about, like, kind of running out of steam of, like, oh, I got to go run and get like another 200 things of this new metal to make this new armor or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, one of my friends in particular is just like really enjoying it. And so you'll come back to the base and there'll be like 20 hours of work done to build like this beautiful thing. And there's resources for everybody. And then everybody jumps in and like makes their armor and gets their food ready. And we go like slay the boss, or we'll go on some like boating adventure and get attacked by a sea serpent. And it's such a fun little survival game. I'm having a blast with it. We've transitioned our main base into a treehouse.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I like that. You know how like the buildings have to be attached to the ground a certain number of links or else they're too weak?
Yeah.
Well, just a tree counts as stable ground along the entire length of the tree.
Okay.
So, and you can plant trees, and so we have like this raised platform that none of the monsters can get to, and then there's a bunch of trees planted on this platform, and then up in the trees is our base. So like all of these wooden structures and stuff are attached onto these tree branches, and they're all like stable because they're attached to a stable object, and if anyone ever cut down the trees, our entire base would just implode on itself. But
that would be very sad. Can enemies like knock down trees?
Big enemies like trolls and stuff can, but they can't reach us because we're on like a big mountain platform that we've made.
Good.
Specifically for that purpose. And the other thing is, we made the base in the starting area rather than in like the second area, so less intense monsters will come after us.
Okay, nice.
But it's awesome. Just up in the trees, we're getting more and more powerful upgrades and like cool magical stuff now. Having to do some farming for fancy like flax to make linens, to do all sorts of stuff. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'll keep playing that. Don't want to talk about it too much more though. I have some games to talk about. I also have kind of some big news, and I think I'm going to get it out front. So you know how there's like those things where we go the whole podcast and at the end it's like, whoa, bam, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I got one of those.
Uh-huh. Is it the new Nier game?
No.
Ah, oh, dang.
It's maybe a little bit better than that. For those on the video podcast.
Oh, I wasn't looking at your video.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I managed to get an RTX 3080 graphics card.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you needed one.
I've been trying to get one for at least as long as I was trying to get a PlayStation 5 a while ago. Like, I've been on all those notification threads and mashing on buttons as soon as they're available and all this nonsense.
Dude, you got the holy trio of hard to get items. You got the PS5, you got the vaccination, and you got the RTX.
Apparently I just have the magic touch. Apparently I just got really good at snagging things that other people are wanting. I have the scalper's touch, but I'm not using it for evil.
Nice. That's
I'm only
good.
Using it for myself, which I guess is good. I don't know if that counts.
Good. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm really sick right now, and so I don't want to play any VR games. So I haven't really pushed this thing to its limits, but I'm really excited to try. It's really crazy. I can't believe it. I mean, shout outs to Best Buy. I ended up getting both my PlayStation and my graphics card from Best Buy. Their system works a little bit better with their like gradual release of product.
Yeah, nice. It did not work for me in the PlayStation. I'll give you that. I'll say that.
But yeah, I wish I had more to say about it right now. I'm mostly just like super excited about it.
Is anything different for you?
Well, I haven't. Of the games I've played, the performance is definitely better, right? Like, I turned everything up to extreme on Valheim and was getting easily like 120 frames.
Okay.
Looked beautiful. Valheim also, like, that's not like a... It looks gorgeous with the lighting and everything, but the textures are all so low resolution that, like, that mm-hmm. doesn't impress very well. You know, yeah. It's not like a beautiful, beautiful game, but...
it's RTX 3080 to play a PS1 graphic game
exactly. on extreme
settings.
I'm trying not to be that guy, right? I'm
have like, you played okay. Amogus on highest settings, even though it doesn't even have settings?
I've not played anything of the sort. What did I play? I did try. Hold on, I'm gonna try to see what my first attempt was. Give me a second.
I feel like Monster Hunter World would be a good one to test on it.
I think I want to do Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront.
Ooh.
That seems like a really good one.
Good choice.
I've yet to do any ray tracing as well. That's mm-hmm. the other thing. I wanted my first game to be Half-Life Alyx, but again, I'm just too wiped out to do anything in VR right now.
Yeah.
So I'll have to report back on that, but ray tracing definitely in my future. Get some of that Minecraft RTX, maybe purchase a little bit of Control. I mean, they've been throwing that game left and right with Humble Bundles and everything. Maybe I'll get it for real cheap here pretty soon.
Which one is Control?
That's the shooter with the lady with the magic powers and the red hair.
Oh, right. What was the other one that came out recently? Like Returnal?
Returnal. That's only on PS5.
Returnal. Oh, is it? I didn't realize it was a PS5 exclusive.
Yeah. That's a PlayStation exclusive video
okay,
game.
Okay, yep. Interesting.
Yep. Anyways, that was like my big news.
Yeah, that's huge news.
Don't have a lot to say about it. I thought you'd be more surprised, but that's okay.
I mean, after the PS5, I feel like nothing phases me anymore.
That's fair.
It confused me so much that like nothing phases me anymore.
You could learn that, like, I purchased Bethesda, and you'd be like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, Microsoft did that too, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I hope you fix Fallout 76.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's dead.
It's dead?
Well, I mean, not to people who play it. You know, there's always that group that are like, this is the best game.
Yeah.
But to me, it's dead.
Okay. Well, apart from installing the graphics card, the thing I've been doing while sick is just playing all sorts of games a little bit. I have not much to talk about just because when you're sick, kind of in a fever dream, you're just like anything to get you through the day, right? So like I booted up some Evil Genius and then ran out of money and didn't want to deal with it. So I turned that back off. I played some Gunfire. I played some Heroes of the Storm, that kind of thing. But last night I downloaded a new mod. You saw me playing this, right? I was streaming it.
Oh yeah, I tuned in for like 5 minutes.
Yes,
it was quite the surprise.
This was incredible. This kept coming up on the Steam store page for me, but Portal Reloaded is a free community mod you can download. It has its own page. It's a mod for Portal 2. Boy, oh boy, I am so excited to play that more. It was so fun. It is Portal with a third portal that introduces time travel.
That's cool.
It's crazy. And so, like, you're dealing with the puzzle of getting the cube on the button, right? But then you have to deal with the fact that, like, okay, well, if I move where the cube is in the past, then it also moves where it is in the future. But then I can go get the future version and bring it back to the past. But then I can't touch the past cube or it'll break the timeline and my future cube will disappear.
Yeah, I've heard of that, actually.
It's really fun.
I didn't realize that was the one you were playing. That's really cool.
Yes. I'll continue playing it.
I didn't know Portal 2 had a workshop on Steam.
Yeah. They have sense. Like custom levels and stuff for years and years. You could just go download like packs of user content, like a LittleBigPlanet style.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Man, I've played 47 hours of Portal 2. That is a great game.
Very good video game. Well, now Portal Reloaded.
There's trading cards? I didn't know there was Portal trading cards.
There are Portal 2 hats. Did
I
you know that?
I gotta get them all. What do you mean hats?
Like you can dress up your co-op characters in like hats and cosmetics Team Fortress.
I did know that.
Some of them are cross-game. I remember when Portal 2 came out, I was all excited because I had a bunch of Team Fortress hats that worked on my robots.
Uh-huh. Dude, I wish they had done more stuff with that. The whole game, the whole like Steam inventory where you can like items transferred between games and stuff. I feel like they only did that with their own games and no one else used it.
Yeah, they actively stepped away from Steam inventory. You can't actually buy a game and put it in your inventory anymore.
Oh, yeah. That was sad, too. I really liked every time Terraria went on sale, I bought an extra copy of it for my inventory.
I think it kind of dissuaded people from money laundering, though, by taking that away. So that's pretty good.
It's fine. Terraria laundering is my jam.
No, you just give it away. You're not funding terrorism.
They do that through Steam?
Yes, but money laundering is taking illicit money and turning it into seemingly good money so that you can use illegally obtained funds, whether through like credit card scams or maybe you are trying to get money from some other illegal activity. I don't know.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
This is why
okay.
We can't have nice things.
Like Steam inventories. Thanks, guys.
Yes, thanks for real. That's a big bummer.
Counter-Strike knife gamblers. You ruin everything.
So annoying.
The other game I played a ton of while sick, just laying on my floor, was I actually booted up the PS5, and I played a whole lot of hours of Uncharted.
Ooh.
Because I got that Nathan Drake collection and Uncharted 4 a few months back,
you
and
did.
I haven't played them.
And they don't have PS5 editions yet, right?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I was playing the collection, which certainly doesn't. I played through all of Uncharted 1. I have completed a video game.
Whoa.
Since we last talked.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, not a super long game. Very 2007. it reminded me how far we've come in a lot of ways. I've always heard Uncharted 1 is like, eh, and it got way better in 2 onwards. And I played 2 when I was younger, but I was like, I'll try 1. I just want to know where these characters come from and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And it was fun. I'm glad I did it. But I played it on hard, and I definitely bumped it down to normal at a certain point because I was like, this is frustrating in an annoying way.
Yeah.
And not in a challenging way.
Like, it's just not fun.
Yeah. Wait. That game is definitely classic video game. It's like, oh, I am the witty rogue with a good heart who's a thief. By the way, I'm going to kill the 400 people that come at me while I'm on this island and make witty comments about it the whole time. And you're like, oh, that's weird. The witty comments
that's weird
have not aged well at all.
Oh, no.
There was like 4 or 5 times where I'd be like sneaking up on a guy, shoot a man in the head, right? Like this is a death that's occurring. And Nathan Drake goes, that's going to hurt in the morning.
Like, well,
whoa, okay. And like, he didn't get injured, right? This is not about him. This is him saying this about the man he just shot and killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, okay.
Very
he's not
smooth,
wrong,
Nathan.
You know, very he's wrong about the fact that there's going to be a morning, but you know, it happens.
No, he is wrong. It's not going to hurt in the morning. There's no pain will occur in the morning.
Ooh.
The pain in the hearts of the loved one of that man you just killed, that is the pain that you have caused.
Man, that's cool that you beat the whole game, though. Do you recommend people playing it on normal difficulty?
If you're going to play it, yeah. There's no reason. The AI is early PS3 smart, right? It's not. They're not going to do like more challenging things to you. They're just hyper-accurate. Like, you poke your head out, and then like 3 dudes shoot you from across the map. And the AI can run full speed and shoot you with full accuracy, whereas if you go into your shooting mode, you like slow down to a crawl, and it's just the kind of unfun thing where you're just like constantly getting peppered by bullets everywhere.
Yeah.
And you have there's no skill based in dodging them. You just get hit and then you have to hide and wait for your health to come back.
Sounds like the way that Halo had that hard difficulty. Like, I think the original one, right?
Talking about like the brutal.
Yeah, where it's just like if you just got shot, you just died. It's like, oh, I like the it's like unpreventable things, really. It's almost luck trying to get through the game.
Well, here's the thing. That happens even on normal, but the difference is, I think between normal and hard, there are higher difficulties, but between normal and hard, the only difference is the enemies have twice as much health. And boy, that was irritating.
Oh.
Like, like having a gun and being like bam 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 into a guy, and then he's like ow and keeps running.
He's like, you're that's like, gonna hurt in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, let me just empty an entire magazine of this weapon into this person to kill them. And then you're like always constrained for ammo because you can't kill someone.
Ammo management does not sound fun when they just have a billion health.
Fun game. I liked it. I'm playing 2 now. Much better game. Just the animations, the models, like everything feels better in 2. And this is the one I did play when I was younger. So like I'm excited to play it again. And then I hear that they only get better, right? Like I played 2 and liked it. And I remember when 3 came out, the reviews were like, they managed to nail the end of this trilogy. It's like super good. And then 4 was coming out and everyone was like, I don't know, do they really need to do a whole nother game?
Yeah.
And then that one got like story awards and like best looking game awards. And like, apparently it's really good and really beautiful. I'm excited to get to them eventually.
Nice. 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 Have you played any more of, was it Kingdom Hearts? The one where you got like the whole Ultimate Collection.
So I did not get that. That was my wife.
Oh, okay. And
I don't think she's played any more of it. She has talked about it once or twice, but it has not been booted up. She did say that like there was a while where she felt bad because she didn't want to like take the PlayStation from me, and then I never played the PlayStation, and so it was one of those weird communication things. But
do you still have your PS4 or did you sell it?
No, I sold it to a friend.
Okay, that's right. I remember now. Okay.
Yeah. So, but the PlayStation is available and open for her anytime she wants to play Kingdom Hearts. We've had this discussion. We have resolved the communication error.
Kingdom Man's Hearts.
She's a bit busy right now, actually playing a different game, quite enthusiastically.
Oh,
I think you might know a little bit more about this.
Oh, are we talking about the Pokemon Snaps?
We are.
Pokemon Snaps.
Well, you are specifically.
It came out. Unfortunately, my friend had the audacity to plan his stupid wedding the weekend of Pokemon Snap coming out. It was very rude of him to do so, but I survived. It came out, I think, on that Friday, and then that night we all rented a hotel room, and you know, the night before the wedding, and had a party. And the next day was the wedding, and I was like, oh, I still haven't played Pokemon Snaps. And then it was really weird. They had like a 2-hour gap between the wedding ceremony and the reception where they were just like, everybody go have fun. Just go do stuff until
are they not at the same venue?
They're not. No, it was about like a 20-minute drive.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, everybody just meet up in 2 hours. We'll see you then. So like most of the wedding party all went to like a coffee shop. And we got to the coffee shop, and I was like, yes, I finally could play Pokemon Snap. So
wait, that is like the weirdest thing I've heard. So you got married, and then just like went and hung out at a coffee shop for a few hours, and then went to your... Well,
they took photos for a little bit, and then they showed up at the coffee shop with like 30 minutes left to wait.
Okay.
It was mostly a time gap for them to take photos.
That makes sense. But because that does happen, right? It's called the cocktail hour where people are like hanging out, having snacks, waiting for the photos to be over.
Mm-hmm.
But like to go off site seems very strange. Like I can't imagine being the Starbucks barista and having an entire wedding party in their outfits.
Yeah, dude, all in our outfits. And then my friend and his wife walk in, like she's still like wearing her full dress because they just taken photos and she's
like,
still
she didn't change to like a party dress.
Yeah, no, we're still wearing it for the ceremony later or the reception later. Wow. They said some guy came up to them and gave him like a $100 gift card, just like, ah, congratulations. And I'm like,
wow,
I should go places when I get married and you know, and be like, everyone, look at me. I just got married. Bring me presents. Shower me with gifts.
There's no reason you can't just tell all your friends to wear nice suits to go to coffee shops and then just show up with a woman in a bridal gown. Like,
that is a great idea. Where am I going to find a bridal gown though? Those things are pricey.
I mean, you're getting married.
But I can't see the dress before the wedding.
Oh, well, this would be after.
Oh, I thought you were saying there's no reason why I can't just do that right now.
I mean, you could if you wanted to buy a wedding dress. Just go to Craigslist, look for some
honestly, old wedding dress. Get a cheap one. Like, see how long it takes for it to pay off for just going into random places.
It's like you look at the list of wedding dresses and it's like, you know, several hundred dollars and it's like $100. Like, what? Maybe haunted by spectral bride. You're like, oh, this is fine.
Well, that's perfect. Great. Yeah, wow.
She can wear the dress and get the coffee.
What a great way to it's like a new form of begging or being a hobo, just going from city to city in like a full wedding costume and like making
fancy
money,
begging,
living off of people donating gift cards. Like, I can sleep somewhere tonight. Yes.
Don't a lot of people like essentially just fancy beg at weddings? They're like, pay for a honeymoon and you can dance with us.
I don't like the whole and then you can dance with us thing.
Yeah, it feels weird to me, too.
It's pretty strange.
I did not do that, I don't think. Uh-huh. I don't remember. I don't think I did.
Well, I certainly don't remember anything at your wedding, apparently, after I, I basically called you guys strippers at your wedding on accident.
Okay.
Anyway, well, Pokemon Snap. Right, Pokemon Snap. I forgot we were talking about Pokemon Snap. It's a great game. Anyway, my whole story. Wow, this is my story. Really got off. Got really derailed.
You got to a coffee shop. Did you buy Pokemon Snap during the wedding?
No, I had received it that Friday, and so I played it for like 10 minutes at that coffee shop intermission, and I was like, "This is great. I'll just play it later." And then that next Sunday, I was like, "Okay, I'm home. I'm rested. I can finally play all the Pokemon Snap I want." And then, oops, I also beat it that day. So
the most Jordan thing.
It's got a lot of content. It's definitely got a ton of content compared to the first one, at least. But mm-hmm. but it gave me Luigi's Mansion vibes, where it was like, that was fun, but ooh, I just paid $60 for that, and like it's done now. It's like ooh, that was really, really short for a $60 game.
So, but you didn't 100% it, right? You just like went through level to level?
No, I did not 100% it. And I guess that's where it gets a lot of, it has a lot of replay value, you know, obviously, because each level.
That's like the whole game. You're just going through the same levels and learning them, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, like it almost forces that replay value through just the first iteration of playing it. So it's like you play a level and it's like, good job. And then nothing happens and you're like, oh, I guess I didn't take good enough photos. And you play level again. And they're like, oh, by the way, we found a new thing. I'm like, oh, okay. And sometimes I'd have to do level like two or three times in a row before they'd be like, okay, on to the next place. So at sometimes I was just, it got to the point where I was like, oh, I have to do it again. You know, like it's such a weird game concept. To be looking at this like as a new game, to be like, oh, I just want new content, but at the same time, like I had to go through the old content to get the new content. And also, my goodness, like there are some secrets in that game that you will just not find. So I beat the game, I beat every level without looking anything up because I was like, I'll try to figure it out. Later, I'm like looking up stuff because I was like, just trying to get high scores on the levels just for fun. And so I'm like scrolling through, like, what did I miss? And I'm seeing stuff and I'm like, my gosh, like, how are people going to know how to do this? You know, it's like you one level, you like scoot forward, you have to hit a guy at a certain point. He runs into the bushes and you have to play a song at a certain point. And then it scares these guys. He jumps over here and then hit that guy with a certain item. It's like you have to do all of that. And if you do anything too late or miss or don't know to do it, then it's like, oh, you just don't get a photo of this Pokemon that comes out of the bushes when you do all that. And I'm like, geez, they like, holy snaps. They really expect people to be really creative or just, I guess, really
just brute force it.
Yeah, really brute force it. But at the same time, it's not a good game to brute force because when you play a level, you're committing to play that entire level, you know, all at once because you're on a automatically moving thing. So it's like, oh, I missed that. Now I have to play the next 3 minutes of this level before I get to try it again. And then if I miss out. Yeah, well, you can exit it. But at the same time, I'm like, I want to see other secrets. And then I get to the end and it turns out I find nothing. And I'm like, oh, that was just a huge waste of time. And the professor's like, your photos suck. Like, what's wrong with you? You didn't take anything new. You stink. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I tried.
That's not true. I've heard that, man. He says nice to every single photo.
If you don't have nice anything to show him at the end. Then he goes like, oh, you didn't take anything. Like, I've gotten to the point where, because you can take up to 4 different variations of a Pokemon, one star, two star, three star, four star. And so if you have all four, or even if you have like three of them and you don't take that four star, you only take another three star. He's just like, and it's not better. You can just choose not to show it to him because there's literally no point in showing it to him.
Right.
So at the end, he's just like, oh, try again. And I'm like, I did try. So
tried my hardest.
Yeah. We really, really weird game. Really weird. I mean, concept. Still really fun. Really cool concept. Really weird, really cool concept at the same time.
I have an interesting question I just thought of. So how would you feel about this game if it was literally the same game, but it was like Temtems or something, like the weird off-brand Pokemon?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like a $20 Steam game.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, like... I think it's just the price point that was so annoying. Because it was 60, wasn't it? It wasn't 50? I'm pretty sure it was 60.
Yeah, which is technically... I mean, with the modern generation of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, those are $70 games a lot of times. So,
yeah,
still technically not full price, but full price for Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was just like... it's been like $30, maybe even $40, I would be probably a lot more happier. Because I played those levels over and over again a lot of times. So I feel like I've gotten like a lot of the content out of it that I was meant to get. And it's still like, it's already done at this point. And, you know, they're still going back through and trying to fill your photo decks, which is fun. Except when it's just an absurd way of finding them. And I had to like look up a solution and then the solution doesn't make sense. And I had to restart the level like three or four times over. Cause I missed some one guy, or I didn't throw some apple on some ledge off in the corner. Like you had to just look up into the sky and just start chucking them to meet the ledge. Like
toss it out there.
Like that's crazy. Who's going to do that? Who's going to be like, there's a ledge way over there. And then it's like, oh, something happened from that. Or like,
what?
Yeah. Or like, yeah, I'm trying not to give away like too many spoilers, but
sounds like the kind of thing where like, you know, Uncle Jordan goes over to like the little kid's house and is like, oh, hey, you like Pokemon Snap? Well, check this out. And then it's like, boom, legendary Pokemon pops out and it just blows the kid's mind because they've played 200 hours of this game.
That's exactly
and didn't
it.
Know.
Like, I don't think this is a spoiler.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Marion, close your ears.
Yeah, Marion, don't listen. But they do a cool post-game thing. Like, you play through the whole game, and you're like, I'm really bummed. There wasn't a single legendary to take a photo of this whole game. But after you beat the game, if you go back and replay the levels, you had to do insane things to find them. But they are their option of them being there is there. And that's pretty cool to be like, hey, it's a legendary. I'll take a photo of this.
You don't have to confirm or deny, but I did theorize with Marion that's what the ancient runes were there for. They were like built into a tree or a rock or whatever. She's like, I don't know what these are there for. I'm like, that's probably a legendary Pokemon thing.
The ancient runes. Was that in the underwater level?
No, there's just next to a tree. It was like ancient runes.
Oh, okay. Oh, ruins?
No, it was like a little tablet with text on it.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it could be.
Could be.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I still need to go through and, like, find out the legendaries. But, so, fun game.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Thanks for the update on it. It's just a weird thing that it exists. I'm glad it does.
I'm glad it
Where's
does, too.
Where's Pokemon MOBA?
It only took them 22 years for a sequel. I think it was 22 years.
Did they ever make a Hey You Pikachu sequel?
Wow, no, I don't think they did. Or did they? Did they make a Wii U Hey You? Or no, I think they re-released it on Wii U. Wii U Hey You.
small point, I forgot to mention, Marion actually finished playing Mario 64 and moved on to Sunshine.
Oh no.
She has begun Good Super luck. Mario Sunshine. Look, she's not going for that 100% lifestyle.
Okay,
that you subscribe
that's
to.
That's fair. I did. That was my official verdict. Was it's a great game if you're not trying to get everything.
She's not about that life exactly.
But wow, I'm sure playing 64 is a great like precursor to getting into the mindset of playing Sunshine.
Yeah, it's better to go in order, right? You get better cameras each time. You get better jump control each time. She's going to end on Galaxy. Think about that.
Oh, man, Galaxy was so good. That whole game was worth it just for Galaxy. Man, it was so good and so buttery smooth. And you can't buy it anymore. So if you don't own it.
I forgot to mention that we never brought that up when they ran out of copies, digital copies. You know, they ran out of supply.
They now did. Gone. That's right.
Yeah. I still have a sealed box copy. I should check.
I do
if
too.
Those prices are starting to go up.
I'm looking over at it next to my other sealed copy of the Animal Crossing Hello Kitty cards.
Oh, I forgot that you scalped a second one. Dirty scalper.
Hey, it was. They said limit two per person. So I said, okay, I'm going to take both of them and maybe give this to someone else who, if they want it. But if they don't want it, it looks real pretty sitting on my shelf right next to Mario 3D collection.
That's fair. That's
good
fair.
Stuff. Good stuff.
Before we move over to emails, did you have anything else?
Yes. Yeah. Lastly, a last game that I played, which was, this is going to be really short because the game is really short. The Miitopia demo was released on Switch. It is phenomenal. It is incredible. Okay. It is perfect. It is perfection. It is wonderful beauty in all its splendor and glory. I cannot recommend.
I saw a lot of horrific Miis and events brought on by the internet.
I cannot recommend Miitopia enough. It's a re-release of the 3DS game, but they severely overhauled the Mii creation this time around. Thank goodness they did. They didn't have to do this. I'm so happy they did. It's called makeup. And so you can put makeup on a Mii and essentially make any character in the entire world.
Okay.
It's insane. It's bonkers. And just seeing the Miis that people are making from the demo is incredible. I'm so excited for the full game to release. Because the characters in the game are made from the Miis that you choose. And I think there's also a way that they can choose randomly from the internet, which I think is a great way of
that
playing the game.
A very un-Nintendo solution. That is so dangerous.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's a way. So just like, you know, some towns guy could just be Obama and you're like, oh, sweet. Or like, here, you know, there's Rick from Rick and Morty. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, how often until you get like the holy priest Hitler? Like, that's gonna be so bad.
Oh yeah, that'll be bad. But or other like, than that,
this person is just an inappropriate part of a body. Like, that's gonna be,
you know, you honestly, you could probably do that really easily with like, that's how great the Mii creation is. So that's a terrifying point. I'm sure there will be a lot of reported Miis when the game finally launches. A lot of banned players, but so good.
Miis kids,
I can't wait for it to come out. I'm so excited. I want to stream it just from the memories that will be made from having all these crazy characters. I'm really excited.
Fun
for it to come out. Yeah,
like when you did Paper Mario, just like play it on stream.
Yes, yeah. Just for the sole reason of me going back and watching me play through it again and being like, oh yeah, you know, there was the Dark Lord Squidward. You know, that was hilarious. I made the villain. I didn't actually end up making you the villain. You actually were one of my party members. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
But I made the villain like the really handsome Squidward. And like, it looks just like him. It's so good. Like,
handsome Squidward.
These Miis are so good that I'm like, I had to do this. And he's like, hello. And I made like the great mage who comes and helps you out, Jesus. So, you know, Jesus will just come out and help me. It just help me out ever from time to time. It's great.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, it's so good.
And destroy my enemies.
Mm-hmm. So that comes out, I think, maybe that's next Friday. That comes out
the
next few
weeks.
One of
the Psalms.
Yeah. So excited to play it. And that's about all I've been playing.
Okay. Wow. That comes out, like really soon. So I'm sure I'll be hearing a lot more of it. I wish that like there were more games that were super creative and interesting that weren't turn-based RPGs. Like, there's a lot of games that have all sorts of really cool ideas and you get down to it and it's like Omori. Like, Omori's fun, but it's also like select attack, select attack, select attack, select healing skill on injured guy. Okay, boom, they all go. It's like, it's fun and interesting, but it's not super engaging in the moment-to-moment gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's one of the reasons Undertale was so awesome, is because it was like a turn-based RPG, but it wasn't, because it was an action game at its core, right? You had to like dodge things and
yeah,
and like weird things happen. I think that's one of the reasons I liked it so much, is because it wasn't just a turn-based RPG. I don't know, as I've grown up, I've really come away from those. I think as a kid, those were like one of my favorites. I would actively seek them out. Like, I loved Pokemon. I loved games that were like strategy games in that way. And as an adult, I feel like I've taken way more after like timing and reaction based games, like your Dark Souls action games, or even like MOBAs, like Heroes of the Storm kind of thing. I don't know why I like that better now.
That's cool. An interesting point. There are a lot of those. Yeah.
Of turn-based, you're saying?
Yeah, or turn-based. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about Miitopia, you can also just turn on auto mode, where you literally just sit back and just watch the watch the gameplay itself. And for me, in that case, it's almost just like, I want to get back to the crazy interactions that it randomly chooses between Miis.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you're there for the fun social. You're not there to play, like, a generic Japanese RPG, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically. Like, I'm a cook. That's my role in the game. That's my, my class as a chef. And, like, I have you bunking at the hotel with my buddy Brian, and you guys will have, like, little workout sessions and, like, funny interactions. Or, like, you'll give
me a
gift. Isn't
this how romances start?
You'll give me a gift, and then my fiance, Miranda, like, peeking in the window, and it's like, Miranda saw that and is sad. And then in combat, she'll be, like, jealous of you and, like, won't heal you because of that. Like, it's so funny how it does all this stuff. It's so
that's
good.
That's pretty incredible.
I can't wait to play more of it.
Oh man. Only other thing I want to say before emails is actually just I wanted to show this off because I think this is so cool. I bought a third Raspberry Pi.
What?
Yeah, the Raspberry Pi that was running the Valheim server started crashing a ton last week.
Oh no.
And it was I think it was a memory issue, because as our server grew and we had a giant tree fort with like hundreds of objects attached to it. And now we have all these portals all around the world. Like, there's a lot the game is keeping track of at any one given time. And I think it was running out of memory because I only had the 4 gigabyte model, but they make an 8 gigabyte model, which I now own.
Oh, wow.
So this is an 8 gigabyte Raspberry Pi, and I got a case for it because I wanted to have a case with a fan to keep it cool and everything. And this is actually like my favorite case I've bought of all of my Raspberry Pis. I wanted to show it off if anyone was interested. I'll pull up the name of it real fast.
It looks like a little baby Xbox One, from what you showed of it.
It's awesome. It's by far like the smallest case I've gotten, which is cool. Not by far, by a little bit. It's the smallest case I've gotten. This is the iUniker Raspberry Pi case. I just got it through Amazon, but they have like gray and black and everything. And it's got like these neat little etchings for like USB and Ethernet and everything. On the bottom, there's an etching for the SD card. It's got these neat little rubber feet you put on it so it doesn't move around. If you don't do the rubber feet, you can mount it. Like, I could literally just mount this on the wall.
Whoa.
Which sounds awesome.
Oh, and then you just pop in the SD card from the old one to the new one, right? And you're done?
Well, there is a setting that enables for Windows, because I have the weird Windows mod. I do have to tell Windows that there's 8 gig of RAM, because right now it's expecting 4.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But well, it should be a really simple transition.
Nice.
Yeah. And it does come with a fan that you mount in here.
What a cute little thing.
Yeah. And you can pop off the top. I just love everything about this. I have yet to really use it. I booted it up just to make sure the fan was working, but I didn't plug it into a screen or anything. So I have no idea how it's working. And there was no SD card. So it at least does get power. I'm going to put the SD card from the Valheim server in here. Right now, this Valheim server is just running off my desktop because it kept crashing on the Pi.
That's funny. Nice.
And I want my CPU back. I want to be able to, like, I ran a bunch of benchmarks when I got my new graphics card to, like, see the difference, and I had to turn off the server while I did that so that I could use my full computer. And I don't want to, like, be playing Half-Life Alyx and my friend gets on Valheim and, like, starts building something and now my frames start dropping.
That's awesome. You just have a laptop. You do have a laptop you can just set up somewhere, you know?
That's a good point. I should probably do that. Then I have to install everything and move the world file.
I'm sure your RTX 3080 could also run Windows just on its own, you know?
Just the graphics card. Yeah. Just plug HDMI into it, power it, and a keyboard. A
keyboard into your graphics card. Oh, gosh.
Somebody should make a single board computer that's the shape of a graphics card and then just, like, have all the ports on it. So
that'd be
just
cool.
Like, here's my computer, and it just like looks like a RTX card.
Oh man, because didn't your graphics card cost more than your laptop?
No.
Oh, it didn't.
It would have if I didn't get the one actually straight from NVIDIA.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the 3080 I purchased, actually, it would not have. The laptop was pretty expensive.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. At the time I bought the laptop, I think it was about 2000. And
I thought the RTX was like 2500.
No.
Oh, really? I guess I was looking at scalped prices.
Yeah, scalped prices. Well, there's the 3090, which is like $1,500 brand new and like thousands and thousands.
Oh, okay.
But the 3080, I think MSRP is about $700, but most places you can buy it for $1,100.
Too bad.
And then the scalp price, I think, is like $1,800 or something.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
The 3070, I was also willing to get, and I think that MSRP is for $500, and you can usually get it for about $700 or $800.
Nice.
Brand new, and then scalped for like $1,200. Mm-hmm. So I got it from, I got the NVIDIA Founders Edition model, so it's not overclocked or anything, but it was only $700.
Nice.
Which is insane, because I was prepared to pay $1,000 for a 3070,
yeah.
And yet I got the better one for way less.
Wow. Founders Edition. Very nice. Yep.
Cool. So let's talk about some emails. How does that sound?
We have a lot of emails, my dude.
We have a lot of emails. This is the questions and answers section of the podcast. You can ask us questions via email at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Again, that was patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Or you can head on over to the Discord. You can get there via patientplayers.com/Discord. And there's a podcast question section there. But we got a couple questions to go through. Based on how many we have, would you take the first one, Jordan?
I will indeed. It says, hello, biweekly patient players. I have two questions for you as usual. Number one, is there a game you prefer to play on your phone or tablet instead of on the computer? If so, what game is it? That's a good question. And number two, what is your favorite kind of cookie? Sincerely, Miranda. Girlfriend of the podcast, Miranda, right? I think that's right.
Girlfriend. Okay. Yeah. You're like, you're not sure anymore.
Yeah. But fiance of the me.
There was a time when I would play Genshin Impact on my phone more often because it was easier than booting up a computer and I could do it in bed.
Uh-huh.
That counts, right?
Yeah. No, that definitely counts.
I still preferred it on the computer, so that maybe that doesn't count, but I played a lot more Genshin on the phone.
Then no, that doesn't count. It does say prefer to play on your phone or tablet instead of on the computer. I'm trying to think. I don't think there is. Like, if there's a computer version, obviously the computer version. I Miranda plays a lot of Hearthstone on her iPad and phone, and I was playing on the computer version the other day, and she looked at it, and she was like, it's so smooth and clear, and I'm like, I know, like, isn't that great compared to the mobile version?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course the PC port of something is going to be better. Well, not of course, I guess, but supposed to be better.
I think the one time that I would choose this is like Among Us if other people are nearby. Like, I'd rather be in a room playing Among Us on a phone with other people doing the same thing than on a computer playing with people online.
Oh, but not like on a computer with people in the room wouldn't be your preference?
That would be way too hard to pull off, I feel like.
A laptop.
I guess so. Yeah, that would probably still be better.
I just love being able to press the buttons. For
the trackpad to like move everything around with the little mini games.
Yeah, I can't think of one that I would prefer. Or it's like, yeah, I want to play this game, so I'm going to play it on my phone. No, I can't. I mean, I guess I can cheap out a little bit and say that the new Macs can run iOS apps. And so I guess I can say that I prefer to play the mobile games on a mobile device with a touchscreen instead of using a mouse to emulate like clicks and zooms and stuff.
Where is my water? I prefer to play on the phone.
Oh, actually, no, I think that'd be fine on a computer. Yeah. Yeah, I played Cut the Rope on a computer and I was like, this is great.
Nice.
Because it's just, you know, you're just like clicking and dragging. But yeah. Probably something like Clash of Clans. I would prefer to play on a phone than on the computer. So
there you go.
There you go.
Favorite kind of cookie? Why is this so hard?
I don't know. Do I have a favorite kind of cookie? Cookies are just great. Can we say not favorite kind of cookie? Raisins.
They gotta be soft.
Yes.
They gotta be gooey.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Perfect. Like as close to dough as possible.
Yes.
Basically.
Just cookie dough. That's my favorite kind of cookie right there. There you go.
I've never had it. And I don't know how you would do this. But has anyone ever tried cookie dough in cookies? Like blobs of uncooked cookies in the middle of a cookie. Like you have cookie dough ice cream, right? What if you had an actually baked cookie, but it had chunks of unbaked cookie in it?
How would you do that?
That's not for me to figure out. I just want to eat it.
Oh, okay. That sounds tasty. Yeah.
Yeah. What if you put like a shell around the cookie dough that like doesn't melt as fast? So it's like the shell melts, the cookie doesn't get hot in the middle, but it gets hot all the way around. So you have like chunks of uncooked cookie.
I'm down. Yeah, I'm down.
All right, man. We have a new patent. Cookie dough flavored cookies.
Yeah. I was thinking, I was like, well, I like peanut butter cookies, but then like what you mentioned, like, however, just like a normal like chocolate chip cookie that's like still like squishy. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I ate like 11 of those like one time because I baked too many at Brandon's house.
Got diabetes?
I baked too many at Brandon's house, and I'm like, oh no, I guess I had to eat them all, and I did. And I was like, these are so good. Cookies are just great. Yeah.
I agree. Okay. We have a chat question. KFC or Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
Combination KFC Taco Bell. See, because you got to get the, like five layer burrito, but then like the little mini famous bowl with the mashed potatoes and corn and chicken.
Mm. Kentucky One Fried Bell. Is that even a, there's no competition, right? There's no way people would want KFC over Taco Bell.
Oh, plenty of people would pick KFC over Taco Bell.
No way.
I am not one of those people, but they are out there and they will fight you over how terrible Taco Bell is.
Oh, yeah, but it doesn't compare to how terrible KFC is. Like, are they still a company? How are they still in business is what I want to know.
KFC's fine. People love KFC.
I'm going to Google, is KFC in business?
KFC is absolutely in business.
I know it is, but I just want to see what results I get because it shouldn't be.
Wow, we're going to get so much hate mail.
Is there something I could find that proves my bias?
Oh yes, this is internet research. How can I find proof for the thing I already believe?
Yeah, no, I'm down. By 2015, KFC was struggling, having lost business to other retailers and being surpassed by Chick-fil-A. There you go. They were struggling in 2015. In fact, I hope they are still struggling.
What the heck? Okay, next email.
sorry. I do like KFC. I think the problem is I don't see them anywhere. And so I don't have the choice to like eat at a KFC. If there's
just
more KFCs
popular in your area,
maybe I would eat at KFC.
Keep in mind, in the South where we are, there's a lot more your Bill Millers and your I don't know if Cane's is popular down here. Yeah, Cane's is like a Louisiana thing, isn't it? Yeah,
no, Cane's is popular down here.
They have more competition, I imagine, than in a lot of places. Okay, this question says, hello, Jordan and Daniel. Perhaps this is a question you've been asked before, but I will ask it anyways.
Ooh.
If you could design a game from the ground up, what is your best idea for an ideal game? What would be the core mechanics? What visual style should it have? What is the story and the main goal? Unleash your inner starry-eyed entrepreneur. What is your dream game? From Nathan. Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks, Nathan. This is difficult. I can't just like cheap out and say like a sequel to a game that already exists, right?
I would prefer you be a bit more creative.
Design a game from the ground up.
I think I have an idea. I mean, I'm going to pull from other games because like we're on podcasts. I can't like make a whole design doc, right?
I actually have an answer. Okay.
But like, do you remember that game I was gushing about last year?
The wizard one.
Lost Magic, yes.
Yes, I knew it.
Yes. Okay, so it's not going to be... Like, that game, I think, was a really good blend where you had, like, okay, it's strategy, but it's like a top-down action strategy, but it's not like a... It's not an RTS, right? You're not, like, managing 100 things everywhere. You just have a core group. So you have like your main guy, like a MOBA, like a hero, you have your wizard character and you got your side guys, and the side guys, then it's also like a Pokemon style, right? Like, you collect these guys. If you defeat them, you can capture them. You can train them. They have different typings and abilities and strengths and weaknesses. So you form a team. It's got like a deck building strategy, right? Like, you're forming a team. You're training up a team, like Pokemon style. You're taking them into these strategy battles. And like, it's got a little bit of everything, and it works so well. And then it's got that magic combination system, right? Where you're like taking elements from different runes and combining them to make very, very specific effects. And you can come up with crazy combos. Like, Magicka has that system as well. And I love those. So it's definitely going to start with that game as a base. And then I would add in your multiplayer instance groups, like think about Destiny Strike or an Overwatch PvE event, right? Like, imagine if you had a like repeatable event you could do with multiple other people that was a challenge, and it had loot at the end, but you're going in there and you all come in with like your wizard and your team of monsters, and it's like, who's bringing the earth monsters for this part? Or what if the game throws a fire wizard at us? It's like, oh, well, I'll bring my water dragon. And then you're like going in there and casting spells together and reviving each other. Like, that sounds amazing. So like Magicka, but with like summons and loot and multiplayer. Sounds so good.
Nice. Hearing you talk about that wizard game makes me wish that they would make another one, or like port it somehow to something else.
Like, try it out on DS. It's worth going back and playing it. It's fun.
I guess I still do have a DS, don't I? Huh. I forget that sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a 3DS, so you could play DS games on it.
Woohoo!
What was your answer? You said you had one.
I do, yes. I would love... Oh my goodness. I would love a... almost like a more accessible RTS, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, the way that professionals play RTS is they actually have like things into groups, and they're doing it all very, very quickly. The way I play RTS is I click the select all button, and then I say, attack move to this spot, and just kill everything on the way. So I would love to see a game that, like, almost like the premises of the game is just make a group of troops as big as possible, and maybe even like varied for strategic reasons. But it's not meant for you to like be dividing them up and sending them across the map to conquer different places. It's just like one mass of troops, which is how I play StarCraft 2. And that's not how you're supposed to play StarCraft 2. But I'm just not good and fast enough to play StarCraft 2 the real way, where I'm just like, bam, 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 over here, over here, over here, over here.
So what if you had a game like that, but it was like you were literally separated from your opponent? You were just like on your own island. Like, maybe there was ways you could mess with each other, but you couldn't like go kill each other or fight each other. It was just strictly economy, but you're building up an army. And then at a certain point, it goes into battle phase and your armies just rush each other. And there's no
almost like an auto chest or something.
Yeah. Like your armies just like attack each other. And so it's like, if you've built up, like, let's say you went with like all ranged units or something, and then it's like, oh, the guy didn't prepare for ranged units, so you like overwhelm him, right? Like, you'd have to make it a way that you could actually play off each other, that it's not strictly just like playing by yourself. Like, you could still like scout your enemy or something.
I was
going to
say,
like,
maybe like a spy, and he tells you like a certain number of troops that he has of a certain type.
Yeah, like there has to be like deception and scouting in there somewhere. But what if there was no player controlled combat? It was just all economy, and then at the end you just have an auto battle that you get to watch to decide who wins.
That sounds pretty cool. I like the sound of that. Good thinking. Way to let your inner starry eyed entrepreneur out.
That sounds fun, man. These are such good ideas.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, will you take our next email?
I will take our next email. In honor of Daniel's new graphics card, what existing games do you think should add ray tracing as an option? This can be old games as well as modern games. Keep up the good podcasting, Pfizer Gang Thug.
Oh.
Who's Pfizer Gang? Is that like a Pokemon thing?
No, that's a vaccine thing.
Oh.
Someone from the great Pfizer Gang. Oh no, they killed Jordan.
Oh my gosh. Pokemon Arceus now battle the new Pfizer gang as they try to take over the world with the power of Arceus.
Pokemon Moderna version and Pokemon Pfizer version.
Oh my gosh, dude. Wow.
And then if you wait long enough, you can get the Johnson & Johnson expansion.
Oh. Wow. Okay, hold on. What was that question? I forgot. It was add any
ray tracing. Ray tracing to any game, old or new. Man.
I mean, they're already doing that. Mario 64 got ray tracing this week.
Well, is it, that's the weird, like, Mario 64 built on the Unreal Engine, right? That's not, like, original Mario 64.
Yeah, yeah. It's, but still, yeah. It's a version of Mario 64 that got ray tracing. Ooh, you know, I was going to say Overwatch, and I probably will still say Overwatch, because that mm-hmm. game is, I just love it, and if it looked beautiful, that'd be awesome too. But after mentioning the Mario joke, like Mario Kart with some ray tracing, that sounds pretty beautiful.
I might disagree, because I feel like ray tracing is really good at making things look like hyper realistic. I feel like anytime someone tries to do hyper realistic Mario, it looks gross and weird. Like Mario needs that like fantasy cartoon book.
I thought ray tracing was just the way light interacts with objects.
It is, but like what if Mario was like realistically shaded and not like he didn't have like a cartoony glow about him? You know what I mean? Like your lighting is very important to the aesthetic of your game, and I feel like making really like real looking light on this cartoony Mario would start, I feel like it would be a little bit of Uncanny Valley where it's just like, oh, Mario looks like a toy kind of, I don't know.
Uh-huh. I'm just picturing that one jungle map with like the sun coming through the trees onto the track, and like as you mm-hmm. drive through them the shadow goes. I think that'd be beautiful.
That would be cool. Shadows on the track would be really, really cool. Yeah. I agree with you there. I think one of the most beautiful games I've ever played is The Witness. And I think that game with ray tracing would be cool. That would be hard because lighting is a puzzle mechanic in The Witness.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, but I feel like you could still do that as long as you made sure that the shadows produced by the ray tracing were still consistent with the puzzles. That would look gorgeous. That mm-hmm. game is amazing.
I've not played that one, like, ever.
You've never played The Witness?
I have not.
Did I know this?
I'm pretty sure.
Jordan, you would like you should play The Witness with Miranda.
I wonder if I own it. I do own it. No, you own it. I own it because of you.
I believe you own it on Epic. They gave it away at a certain point.
Sweet. Cool.
You should play The Witness with Miranda. It's very fun. And it's the kind of game you can puzzle out together. I played the whole thing with Marianne.
Cool. Okay. Also, I have a third runner-up just because let's just say any game with ray tracing, majority of games would be great. Subnautica, underwater game.
Okay.
Could really love some nice like whooshy light. Ooh, coming down.
I wonder how the water would. But here's the thing. Sometimes you can't see underwater, like in real life. So like would making light beams interacting with water realistic, would that actually ruin the game?
Have you seen Finding Nemo? It's beautiful.
Oh yeah, all the ray tracing they used in Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's my answer. I want them to add ray tracing to Finding Nemo.
I need to see if there's a Finding Nemo the game now.
There's a Shark Tales the game I used to play on Game Boy Advance.
PS2. Finding Nemo on PS2.
Nice.
Yes. There you go. Add ray tracing to Finding Nemo for PS2.
Our live Twitch chat suggested Chibi Robo ray tracing, which sounds actually incredible.
Chibi Robo doesn't need ray tracing. It just needs to come back so I can play it.
It needs to have a version of the game in English that is not $200.
That's a good start. Let's start with
that. That's step one for Chibi Robo.
What are we doing putting Mario 64 in Unreal Engine? Let's put Chibi Robo in Unreal Engine. Come on, guys.
Oh, that'd be so fun, dude. Chibi Robo, honestly, like, I feel like there's a lot of games nowadays, like on Steam, that are like Clean the House Simulator or like Farming Simulator or like these weird games where it's like, I feel like Chibi Robo would fit in today's American market way better than when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
People would dig Chibi Robo, I'm telling you. Nintendo, call me up. I have ideas.
Nintendo says people will dig Chibi Robo, then buy Chibi Robo 2D platformer on Nintendo 3DS. Comes with the Amiibo. All right.
I believe this will bring us to our last email, last question of the day. Comes in from our friend Keaton. Says, my dearest friends, hello and welcome to my chamber of hacking. Okay, thank you for inviting us in. We feel very appreciated, Keaton. I'll continue. This realm exists purely in your imagination and on the internet. Turn to your nearest co-host and tell them what games you dislike that they like from the closest and dearest hand of chaos, Keaton.
Keaton, do you really have to stir up such chaos and conflict?
You're just trying to start a fight here.
I feel like
Keaton.
It's time for a podcast beef with the patient players.
Or the Keaton the Beefinator.
What was it? Oh, Keaton the Beefinator. Keaton Beefinator of the podcast.
That's my new
this is going to be easy. Character. This is the easiest question I've ever received in the whole world.
Okay. See, there's so many that you could pick from, though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like trying to think.
I feel like that makes it harder. If there was one clear winner, that's an easy question. But I'm actually surprised because I feel like you're going to struggle to pick one.
We just like different games sometimes, you know? I'm excited to see. Actually, you go ahead and answer first. I'm excited to see what your answer is.
Oh, I don't have it. You give me an answer. I'm thinking.
Oh, you are thinking? Okay. I am deciding between Valheim and Yu-Gi-Oh!
I knew those were going to be
maybe TF2 as a third runner-up, but probably not as much as the other ones. You know what? I'm not going to choose Valheim. Valheim is like objectively a pretty cool game, and the reason I don't like it, we've discussed in the past, is just because I don't have enough time to get into it. So I'm not going to say Valheim. I'll probably go with Yu-Gi-Oh! I feel like there has to be other things out there, but that's the one that comes to mind right now.
I need to tell you a few things about Yu-Gi-Oh!
Okay, yeah.
I'm still approaching having every card.
Good.
I am running out of deck slots.
Oh my gosh, what is the deck slot limit?
They give you 32, and I'm at 30. Wow. So, I don't know what to do. I don't want to, like, delete old decks. I mean, there's definitely some I'm not using, so I think I could clear out maybe, like, 4 or 5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I like them and I want to play them. And
so
it would make me sad to go back in and like kill these decks. I'm like, I don't know what I like take a picture of them. I don't know. Anyways, that's a conundrum.
That's a smart way of doing it. Take a picture of it.
But then if I ever want to play it again, I have to go reconstruct it from scratch, all 40 cards.
Oh, that does seem like a nightmare.
Yes.
Man, when Hearthstone added the copy and paste feature for cards, people rejoiced everywhere. Just copying your paste into like a 30 character string.
Yeah. They did that for Heroes of the Storm as well. You could like copy talent builds.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just numbers.
Good stuff.
With the name of the character.
Yeah. I wonder. I assume that Yu-Gi-Oh! On PC doesn't have something like that. It's just the same edition across everything.
Yeah. But the thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! Is I could start a new save file and then unlock all cards and just have a second save file.
I wonder if they have like a .txt file somewhere with a string of code in it that pertains to each like deck code or deck list that you can just like copy and paste.
Maybe we could, by the way, if you ever got that game on PC, which I know is not going to happen, but I could definitely like unlock the cards for you and just like tell you to build this deck, and it would be the same as like you wouldn't have to do it yourself. It's like, because that was one of the things, right? You would want to play more if you were able to like borrow decks or have pre-generated decks.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Now I'm just thinking about Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm not thinking about the question. So here's why this question is so hard for me, is because there are games. Okay, I might have a few answers, but there are games that I don't actively want to play at that moment. But that doesn't mean I dislike the game.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm excited to see, because I don't nothing came to mind that you like actively dislike that I like playing. I'm like,
because there are games where you're like, you want to play Hearthstone or you want to play Overwatch, and I'm just like, nah. And then you like get grumpy and think that like I hate those games. But that's not true. I like those games.
Not really. I don't think that.
I just don't want to play them right then.
Honestly, the thing I expected you to say was it's wrong, but like the first thing that came to mind was Minecraft. Just because that's probably even the most instances where you get bored of playing a game and you're like, okay, I'm done. And I'm like sad that you got bored. And I'm like, there's so much to do. And you're like what? And I'm like, I don't know. You know? Wait,
keep in mind, that's after like hundreds of hours of playing together on a server or whatever. Like we play, I would just finish playing Minecraft.
Not really. Like on my server, you got bored pretty quick. But that is a good point because when we played your modded server, like that was,
yeah.
You never got bored. You just didn't have, you just like, I'm done playing this for now.
Yeah, yeah, and you just had more time to play in at that particular stage of life. Mm-hmm. But yeah, vanilla Minecraft maybe is like not my thing, but it's almost like because I've tasted modded Minecraft that like vanilla Minecraft, it's like everything is so arbitrarily difficult. Like no sort button, the maps are weird, right? There is no mini map. Like they've started to implement stuff into the main game with like logic and command blocks and stuff like that, but it's all so complex and difficult compared to like what the mods did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like if I know that I have the option to play with this really neat mod, why would I strain my brain to understand this really bizarre process that Mojang put in their game?
Yes. It's like, incredibly infuriating how when they add something to the game that people want, they do it in the stupidest way possible. And people are like, just put this in the game. We just want this as a feature.
Yeah.
Like people have wanted wireless redstone forever, and you kind of have it with the next update, but you have to get a plant, you have to surround it with wool, you need to point it in a certain direction as another plant, and then there you go. It's like, what? We don't want plants and surrounding them with like sound dampener things.
That
we
sounds just, like Botania.
Like just give us an antenna and an antenna. It's not that hard. And they refuse to do it.
That is very weird. I wonder what the mindset is behind that stuff. Very, very weird. The real answer is probably the newest Animal Crossing.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
I haven't played it. And if I did, maybe I'd like it. But I get the feeling that I would just actively be annoyed by all the stuff in that game that's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, from what you already dislike it from everything. It's just purely off of what I say about it.
It's also fun to just hate on Animal Crossing when we're talking on a podcast.
Oh man, the updates, they for the first time they updated it like a few weeks ago, and I just did not care. Zero care about it because
the end of an era.
It is just a bunch of stupid garbage of refreshed content from last year, and I couldn't care less. It was very sad. So today I was reading a rumor popped up saying like island expansion and museum expansion, and I felt like that little glow of hope again, like, oh, they might do something with the game. Like,
oh no.
It felt really good to feel that again after
only $40.
I'd buy it.
I know you would.
I'd buy it. Yeah. Yeah, I'd buy it. Yep.
All right, well, that is the last email. That is the end of the questions and answers section, which I believe makes it the end of the podcast. Wow. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I don't think we have any special announcements, do we? Anything going on?
Nope.
Okay. Look out for streaming Miitopia.
No, wait. Oh, yeah. Look out for streaming Miitopia. Maybe I'll probably do that in my own channel, but maybe we can like route it to where it's on this.
Oh, Patient Players will host either of our channels.
Sweet. If we stream. That's awesome. Oh, the Mavs won. Thank you, Judah, in chat. That's good news. But I was going to say, as a part of the question and answer segment, if anyone has any topics that you'd like us to do an entire episode on, feel free to submit those. Just, you know, send us an email at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com and in the subject or the body somewhere, just put like episode topic, suggestion, whatever. Cause, you know, we did that one episode with Pokemon where we just talked about how they could ruin Diamond and Pearl remakes. And that was a lot of fun. So if you have any really cool ideas like that we could do a whole episode on, maybe a little shorter than usual, then please send those to us and we will love to look at them. And no, Keaton, we are not doing an anime episode. It has to be video game related.
And we could do the best anime video games.
I feel like I'm not an expert on that category.
Maybe that would be a difficult topic.
I could be like the host, or not the host, I could be the guest star for you and Keaton doing that episode, and I could just say something every few minutes.
Well, we've got no special announcements. Okay, hold on. This is bad form. I do need to do this live real quick.
Okay.
Hold on.
Are you sending me a text or something?
No, I'm not. Okay, good. Never mind. I was making sure I wasn't out of town for the next episode, so I could announce that we're not going to be doing a live episode in 2 weeks. But I am going to be here in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so never
mind. Yay. you know what? I might not be.
Oh, no. Stay tuned. We'll post on social media if we're doing another live episode in 2 weeks. We'll find something. Maybe you'll get an early recording or something like that, and we'll still release it in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Email us, patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And Miitopia stream. I was streaming Portal Reloaded. I did enjoy that. I might do some more of that if I keep playing Portal Reloaded. Other than that, we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Adios.
Adios. Bye. Thanks for coming.